It's a great pleasure, friends, for Sister Wassman and me to have the joy of meeting with the friends here in Sayville and Convention. In a blessed time, there are many friends here whom we have not seen in many days, and it's, in a sense, it's coming home again, because Long Island is the place of our truth foundation. We surely appreciate being here with you. When Brother Russell was writing the studies and the scriptures, he believed that the year 1874 ushered in a 1,000-year period during which the Heavenly Father, through Christ and the Church, the mediator of the New Covenant, the great judge and restorer, would bring about the restitution of all the obedient and the willing who would come into relationship with him in that 1,000-year period, beginning in 1874. He taught that the millennial reign, which would bring about this restitution, began there in 1874. The mediating of the new covenant and the judging of mankind, and I suppose also the reign of Christ and the Church, would be accomplished during, and I use the word during purposely, during that 1,000-year period. And these, that is the mediating, the judging, the reign, would involve something less than 1,000 years, because they would start sometime after 1874, but would be completed before the year 2074. Now, this, of course, is a very brief summary of what Brother Russell taught all his life, what he wrote in the volumes and in the reprints. But in spite of the brevity of it, I believe that nonetheless it is a fair statement of Brother Russell's thoughts. Indeed, it may be a fair statement of the belief of many of the Lord's people today. But I think with the passage of time, Brother Russell revised his thoughts on some of the details of this overall philosophy. Now, these revisions of thought had to do largely with timing and not with substance. They in no wise change the basic philosophy, the basic truths of God's plan, which Brother Russell so very beautifully set forth in the volumes for our instruction and for our guidance, and indeed for our everlasting admiration. And since Brother Russell did in his later years express some thoughts that contained a different sense than those which he had earlier expressed, I believe we would be remiss, friends, to dismiss these later thoughts out of hand. I believe we would be remiss if we did not give them very serious consideration. Now, I have made a compilation of a number of the later thoughts that we find Brother Russell expressed in the reprints, in the towers. And I will tell you honestly that these were specifically selected scriptures, but I believe that they expressed Brother Russell's later conclusions. And they will be necessarily briefed down because we don't have time to cite them in full. But I have taken great care, and I hope that you can accept this, not to take these thoughts out of context. Merely to take them out of context wouldn't prove a thing. And what I propose to do is to examine some of these later thoughts on the rain, on the new covenant, on the day of judgment, on the mediatorial rain, and some of the other scriptures, the binding of Satan. And these are all rather recent thoughts, that is, recent so far as Brother Russell's life is concerned. In 1912, he had this to say about the reign of Christ and the church. And it was an answer to a question. And I'm sure you're all familiar with a great many of the citations from Brother Russell that I'm going to quote, but I ask you to consider them in the light of their relationship one to another. And I think perhaps we will find a pattern. The question was, is it scriptural to say that the glorified members of the church have reigned at any time up to the present? Answer, no. They have not reigned at any time. The reign of Christ did not in any sense begin in the past. At this point, I would like to interject, just to keep the record straight, that I do believe that Christ, when he returned in 1874, did come as a king. He did have kingly power and authority. And since that time, he has been exercising this power and authority. What I'm quoting here is what Brother Russell says. He says, the reign of Christ did not in any sense begin in the past. When the reign of Christ begins, these are Brother Russell's words, I'll make it clear when I am commenting. When the reign of Christ begins, you will find it such a thorough reign that all the members of the body will have some part in it. And he reiterates this fact over and over again in others of these quotations, that the reign, or whatever we're talking about here, cannot begin until the church is complete. All the members of his body will have some part in it. If the reign of Christ should begin today, the saints would be with him. For he is to be the great judge, the saints the under judges. He is to be the great king, the saints the under kings. He is to be the great priest, saints the under priests, a royal priesthood, kings and priests unto God, who shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now remember, he has just said the reign cannot begin until the church is complete. And when he says, and now he's saying that when it begins, they shall reign with Christ 1,000 years, a full 1,000 years. With his reign will begin the reign of righteousness, for the scriptures intimate that sin will be suppressed promptly. This is a point we'll discuss later. The great judge will know how to inflict such punishments and so promptly as to prevent the reign of evil. That's reprint 5023, 1912. In 1914, after he shall have accepted all of his under priests. Not some of them, all of his under priests, after he shall have changed them to his own glorious likeness in the first resurrection beyond the veil, then he will become the king and priest in glory to the world. And here it comes again, and for 1,000 years will reign to bless and uplift all the willing and obedient. After he shall have accepted all of his under priests, he will reign to bless for 1,000 years. Now what Brother Russell has been saying here concerning the reign is that the reign is to be for 1,000 years. It is still future, and it cannot begin until the body members have made their calling and election sure. And when it begins, sin will be suppressed promptly. Now, what do you say about the mediatorial reign? In 1912, reprint 4999-5000. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. He is not yet completed. For 18 centuries, God has been receiving the members of the body of Christ, the mediator, into relationship with himself. During the entire 1,000 years of the reign of Christ upon his mediatorial throne, the work of sprinkling the people will be in process. At the close of the 1,000 years, the mediatorial kingdom will come to an end. Here Brother Russell has said that the mediator, Christ and the church, is incomplete. This is 1912. We believe it is still incomplete. If we believe we are still running for the prize of the high calling, and I'm sure we are, he says the mediator was incomplete, and he also says that when it is complete, the mediatorial reign will last for 1,000 years. We come to the binding of Satan. 5573, 1914. The Bible describes the present time while sin is prevailing as the present evil world in which the prince of this world rules. Satan was still ruling, Brother Russell said, in 1914. And if he was ruling in 1914, he's surely ruling today, because the conditions in the world today are far worse than they were in 1914, and we don't have to expand on that. And then in 5182, 1913, the scriptures inform us, however, that shortly Satan is to be bound for 1,000 years. Now here, now let me read one more. And this is, I don't have the citation. At the appropriate time, now this is a late one, however, it's a 1913 or a 1914 reprint. At the appropriate time, the winds of strife will be let loose, and great will be the trouble. Now here, of course, he's talking about the final great time of trouble, the Armageddon. Until, in due time, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords shall intervene to rescue the race from itself and from the adversary. Then, after that, then Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years, and Messiah's kingdom shall be established for the blessing of all the families of the earth. So what he's saying here is that Satan shall be bound when he is bound, and we believe that is still future, for 1,000 years, and it will be after the final phase of the great time of trouble, and when the Messianic kingdom shall be established, or has been established. On restitution, Brother Russell has this to say in 5374, 1914. Not until this work he's speaking about here is the selection of the church, not until this work is completed can there be restitution to the world. The blessing of the world cannot begin until this great priest-king is complete and inducted into office. Then, as the mediator of the new covenant, and it's interesting to notice, friends, how he ties in here the times of restitution with the time of the mediation of the new covenant. He's just been talking about the restitution for the world, which is future. Then, as the mediator of the new covenant, he will bring the promised blessings to mankind in general. Throughout this age has been the work of selecting the church. In the immediate future, from 1914, are the times of restitution, when the Lord, at his second coming, shall have received his members to himself on the plain of glory. That's when the times of restitution will begin. And he ties it in with the mediatorial reign of the new covenant. And how long will these times of restitution be? 5314, 1913, Brother Russell says. In a word, God's proposal is that Messiah's kingdom, the members of which are now being selected from the world, the church, the bride, will, for 1,000 years, with the Redeemer, bless and uplift and restore all the nations of the earth from sin, degradation, death, the tomb. Now notice what he has said here. He says the members of which Messianic kingdom are now being selected, the church, the bride, who will, after they have been selected, and the complete bride, when he uses the word bride here, he's talking about the complete church, will for 1,000 years bless and restore all the nations. So here Brother Russell saying that restitution cannot begin until the great priest and king, Christ and the church, is complete and inducted into office. After the church is complete, Messiah's kingdom will reign for 1,000 years. On the day of judgment, Brother Russell makes these comments. This is 1914, 5442. And then this is a rather long citation. I'm going to read it all. And the reason is that it contains what I believe is a principle for understanding the interchangeability of these various expressions which we use when we talk about the kingdom. We talk about the reign of Christ in the church, the messianic reign, the millennial age, the new covenant, the day of judgment. In this quotation, Brother Russell uses these words, I would say synonymously. And you may check it for yourself as I read it. The work of that 1,000-year judgment day. Basically, what he's talking about here is the day of judgment. But these other expressions come in. You can't escape it. When you talk about the one, you're talking about the other. The work of that 1,000-year judgment day will show men to what extent they are out of harmony with God and will show them how to come into harmony with him. By the conclusion of the millennial age. What do you mean by the millennial age? He just talked about that 1,000-year judgment day. By the conclusion of the millennial age, or that 1,000-year judgment day, none will be in ignorance. The willful sinner, after 100 years' trial, will be cut off in second death. In the time of Jacob's trouble, now near at hand, Israel will come to see and recognize their king, whom they refused when he offered himself to them at his first advent. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. He will receive them back to favor under the terms of the new law covenant. Now remember, he's using he's telling how they're going to come back to favor with God, and it's under the terms of the new law covenant, but he's talking about the day of judgment. This is the title of his article, and this is the essence of the whole dissertation. In the same article, the Apostle Paul declares that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Christ, head and body, Brother Russell's word. And Brother Russell says, that appointed day, that day of judgment in which he will judge the world in righteousness, that thousand-year day, that appointed day was future in the apostles' time, and it is still future, although about to dawn. In the same article, a little further down, a new trial is to be granted to Adam and all his race. It will be an individual trial under the enlightenment and uplifting influence of the great messianic kingdom. Here he uses another expression as to how they're coming back into favor. He's talking about the day of judgment in which they will come back into favor, the new covenant under which they will come back into favor, the times of restitution under which they will come back into favor. Now he uses the expression messianic kingdom. The saints, this is the same article on the day of judgment, the saints of the Lord shall be associated with their great head as assistant judges in his glorious work of human uplift and restitution to all that was lost in Adam. Here he's saying the judgment day is to be 1,000 years long. It's synonymous with the millennial age. It is synonymous with the times of restitution. And it is still future. Or was when he wrote the article, and we believe it is still future. Now these are Brother Russell's thoughts. These are his, I believe, his latest thoughts, 1912, 13, 14, 15. And I believe we should think about them. He certainly wouldn't have put these thoughts in writing unless he believed them, knowing that they were contrary to some of his earlier expressed thoughts. Now, what does the Bible tell us? How do these thoughts of Brother Russell agree with the Scripture? And this is the important thing, after all. In Revelation 20, 4 through 6, we have the scriptural statement on the reign of Christ and the church. And I saw thrones, and these thrones imply reigning, power and authority, kingship, and they sat upon them, talking about, your Revelation is talking here about the church, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. He's telling who these are who are sitting on the throne exercising this judgment. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These were they who were beheaded for the witness of Christ. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those who are reigning, or who will reign with Christ during this 1,000 years, are those who complete their sacrifice in death and have a part in the first resurrection. And they shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. On the binding of Satan, in the same chapter in Revelation 20, we read, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I quoted some of this before, but I repeated it, to show that the Revelator is telling us that the 1,000 years during which Satan is bound is the same 1,000 years during which the complete church is living and reigning with Christ. And since we recognize with Brother Russell, according to his 1914 statement, that Satan was not then bound, but would be bound for 1,000 years, surely we must agree that he is not bound today, because the conditions of evil in the world today are far worse than they were even in 1914. On the day of judgment, the scriptures tell us this in Acts 17:31. He hath appointed a day, that is God. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. This obviously is talking about the judgment day. 2 Peter 3, 7 through 8. The heavens and the earth which are now, that is this present evil world in which we are living, by the same word are kept in store, reserved for fire against or until the day of judgment and the perdition or the destruction of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Here I think the Lord is obviously telling the Lord's people the length of time in which this judgment day will last, and that it is 1,000 years long. Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say to you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now here, the Lord is telling us that the church will be sitting down with the Lord when he, in the times of regeneration, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This word regeneration really means in the rebirth, the regeneration. And Brother Russell says that it applies to the times of restitution. And I believe it does. In the regeneration, when humankind is brought forth from the grave and regenerated, and the Son of Man is sitting in the throne of his glory, ye also will be sitting with him, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And in order to make it certain who is represented by the 12 tribes of Israel, which the church will be judging, the apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:2, Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? In Revelation 20:4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now here, I'm repeating an earlier citation, because this time it is applying to the day of judgment, then it applied to the 1,000-year reign of the Christ. And you just can't separate them. They belong together. The one is the other. Matthew 25:31. The Lord tells us that all the church will be with the Lord when he is engaged in this 1,000-year judging operation. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and you know he divides the sheep from the goats. All the church is with him during that judging of the peoples of the nation. So here, brother, here the scriptures tell us, as Brother Russell also told us, that the day of judgment is 1,000 years long. It is still future, because the church, who will be a part of that great judge, is not yet complete and glorified. And notice how he ties in here, again, the times of restitution at the 1,000-year reign of Christ in the church, that is, the scriptures tie them in, and the day of judgment. What do the scriptures tell us about the new covenant? Jeremiah 31:31. I'm not going to quote it, but you know that it describes a time when the world is coming into covenant relationship with their God. They shall be his people. He shall be their God. You won't have to teach every man his neighbor, for they shall all know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. This is a beautiful statement of the conditions which will obtain when the new covenant is operating. It's a beautiful statement of what will happen when the times of restitution are operating. But it surely is not happening yet. Acts 3:22 tells us of the coming of a greater than Moses, the coming of our Lord to be the mediator of the new covenant. And this mediating, this judging, it is not yet occurring. The mediator is not yet complete. In Acts 3:19, 21, we find where the times of restitution are related to the coming of the greater mediator than Moses, to whom all must render obedience in the times of restitution or be destroyed from among the people. Now here, we're talking about him who will be the mediator of the new covenant, and he is exercising mediatorial powers, but notice how directly it has been related to the times of restitution. In Acts 3:19-21, where the Apostle Peter is telling us that these times of restitution shall come, for Moses truly said. And then he talks about the mediator of the new covenant. Direct relationship between the operation of the new covenant and the times of restitution. Restitution means to restore, to reconstitute. It's the glorious theme of the entire Bible. It's spoken of by God's holy prophets since the world began. And it implies bringing mankind back to that perfection of nature he enjoyed before Father Adam sinned. Thou turnest man to destruction, and thou sayest, return, ye children of men. Return from the land of the enemy to the glory of that human perfection which Father Adam enjoyed. Volume 1, page 149, Brother Russell says, from the outline of God's revealed plan, it is evident that his design for mankind is a restitution or restoration to the perfection and glory lost in Eden. And in volume 5, page 138, Brother Russell says, the regeneration, the rebirth provided for the world is to a restoration or restitution of the human nature in its perfection. The Son of Man is indeed come to seek and to save that which is lost. We also have a beautiful picture of restitution in Isaiah 35. We have a beautiful picture of restitution in Revelation, the 21st chapter. And these are indeed sublime pictures of the conditions which will obtain during the times of restitution and which will be obtained by the full duration of that 1,000-year reign of Christ. But these conditions have not even started. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Another beautiful picture of what will be happening during the times of restitution, when the Bride will be offering restitution blessings to the world of mankind. A beautiful picture, but it does not describe anything that is happening today. The work of restitution is not now taking place. The Bride has not yet made herself ready. The blood of the ransom has not been released for the world. Mankind is not being restored. Most of them are still asleep in their graves. The glorious times of restitution for the world of mankind, I believe the Scriptures tell us, are still future. And not only are the times of restitution still future, the 1,000-year reign of Christ and the completed church is still future. The day of judgment for mankind is still future. The operation of the new covenant is still future. The binding of Satan is still future. The coming of the great mediator is still future. And this should not be surprising, for all of these expressions are describing the same thing. They are merely describing the various aspects of the one kingdom of God. These various terms describe the purpose of the kingdom of God, which is the restitution of all things. They tell us who shall be in authority, Christ and the church. They tell us how this restitution shall be brought about for imperfect mankind, under the greater mediator. And it shall be with a bound Satan, so that evil may be abolished, and so that mankind may seek after righteousness. They tell us what the final outcome will be under that great judge, life everlasting for the obedient, destruction for the incorrigible, and glory and honor and blessing to the Heavenly Father and to His first begotten Son, by whom and through whom these blessings have come. I find that many of the friends express difficulty in accepting the thought that the times of restitution are still future. And I think a large part of that difficulty hangs on the one word, until, whom the heavens must retain until the times of restitution of all things. They reason from this statement that if the Lord is present, and we believe the Lord is present, then the times of restitution must have started at that time when the Lord returned in 1874. I don't believe that this word until always has the precise meaning that we sometimes wish to attach to it. And I will call up two witnesses. One is the Apostle Paul, and one will be our Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 5 says, "It is a small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. He that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come." A little further on in that same epistle, 1 Corinthians 6, 2, he says, "Do ye not know that that the saints shall judge the world in the day of judgment? Know ye not we shall judge angels?" He's talking about the time when the day of judgment is here and the great judge, Christ and the church, will be judging. But some among the church of Corinth apparently were judging him. And he says, what he's saying here is, you will be judges in that great day of judgment, but just be patient. Don't do any judging now. Don't judge me. Don't judge anybody. He says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Now, the Lord came in 1874. Are we judging? In Luke 21:24, and these are the words of our Lord, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." We believe the Gentile times ended in 1914. But the Jews were downtrodden until 1948, when they regained their national existence, their national policy. 1914 did not end their being trodden down of the Gentiles. Between 1914 and 1948, they suffered some of the cruelest mass murders ever recorded in history. Millions of Jews were herded into gas chambers by their families, young and old, men and women, children, infants. And then when they tried to escape under the prodding of the hunter, by train, trains were wrecked, or by ship, the ships were sunk, and any who escaped were imprisoned. A blot upon the name of civilization suffered by Israel, by the Jews, long after 1914. And yet our Lord says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What has been happening in the world since our Lord returned in 1874 are merely preparation for the times of restitution, for the setting up of the kingdom, for the blessing of the people, for judgment. But this preparation is no part of the thousand-year reign of Christ and the church. This preparation goes a long way back. It includes all of the gospel age, preparing the church to be the rulers in that kingdom. It goes back further. The selection and the proving and the testing of the ancient worthies who would have a part in that kingdom. It goes still further back, before the foundation of the world, when that lamb who should be slain was chosen. Restitution relates to people. It describes the restoring of mankind to his original perfection of being. What we have been seeing in the world today are not signs of restitution. They are signs of the Lord's presence, the increase of knowledge and everything that has flowed from it. And we've been confusing, some of us, the signs of the Lord's presence. The raising of the ancient worthies, the awakening of the dead, the binding of Satan, and the suppression of evil. The removal of the stony hearts and their replacement by hearts of flesh. The knowledge of the Lord in the hearts and lives of men. If we are faithful, I think we will soon see these signs, but it will be from beyond the veil. May the Lord add his blessing.